I'm Rayburn Johnson.
And I'm Steve Sensenig.
Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Box.
Here's a chance to step outside the boundaries of institutional religion and explore the wide open spaces of our freedom in Christ.
We don't claim to have a corner on the truth, and a lot of what you will hear is just two guys thinking out loud.
So come on and join us as we journey Beyond the Box. Welcome back to Beyond the Box. Ray, how you doing, buddy?
Beyond the Box.
Oh, no, we're going to sing again.
I'm telling you.
No. That was last week's episode.
Sorry, man.
Hey, listen, y'all. We got very long-winded on our conversation last week, and so we decided to kind of split it up for you. So really, without much introduction, if you haven't listened to the last episode, I'd like you to go back and listen to that first so you know where we're coming from. But Ray, we're just going to kind of jump right back into the discussion we had last week and kind of finish that off with some more thoughts, a couple personal stories, and just try to wrap up that topic for our listeners. Is that okay with you, buddy?
Let's roll it.
All right. Let's take you back into part two of our discussion. Here we go.
If we're going to really claim that Jesus is Lord, then it would be a good idea to actually believe what he said.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that's a good starting point.
I think it's a great starting point. And to take that at face value, why is it that we have no trouble believing what a doctor tells us, but we don't believe what Jesus tells us?
And they don't even have complete knowledge of any situation.
No. They're guessing along with it. That's why doctors are called practicing medicine, right? They haven't gotten the hang of it yet.
They're still working on it.
Yeah.
And let me throw in a disclaimer here. We're not at all knocking doctors.
No.
Thank God for good doctors. I mean, I'm all about health for people. So if God uses doctors or uses medicine, that's absolutely fine. If we're all on the same team here trying to get people well. But, you know, the Bible does talk about a king named Hezekiah. And it actually says that Hezekiah died because he sought the physicians instead of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty black and white there. And I think what it's saying is it's not saying that because Hezekiah went to the doctor, you know, he died. It's just simply saying he put his trust in the answer the doctors gave him. Yeah. He put his hope in what the doctors could do for him. And he failed to even acknowledge that the Lord had power in that situation.
Right. And I think so often we will, how do I want to say this? We'll say that God has power in a situation, but then we won't really look to his power for the answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like you said earlier, we'll say he's able, but who knows if he's willing?
Exactly. And yet when you look at the ministry of Jesus, that was never a question.
Right.
If somebody said to him, if you're willing... He turned around and said, if I'm willing, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you believe? The question wasn't whether or not he was willing. The question was, what did that person believe they could receive?
Well, in the first chapter of Mark, when that leper comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, I know that if you're willing, you can make me clean.
Yeah.
Jesus turns around and looks at him and says, I'm willing. Be clean.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could get a hold of that.
Yep.
That Jesus, he's not just able, he's willing. And if he said it to that leper, you know, I'm not just trying to shotgun things here, shotgun statements and blessings and all that. But if he really isn't a respecter of persons.
Right.
And if his entire ministry was all about healing people in whatever realm they were broken, whether it was mental or emotional or physical or spiritual. If he was all about that in his time here on earth, what makes us think that's changed?
Right.
I mean, Hebrews 13 says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah, and we'll quote that passage, but then say that he doesn't act that way.
We'll quote the passage and then simultaneously say that, well, healing passed away with the death of the last apostle.
Yeah. Which there's no indication of that at all.
If anything, there's much to the To the opposite.
To the opposite, exactly. And I, you know, like you were talking about doctors and how we're certainly not knocking doctors, but we have to remember that they are human too. And so you can't, I mean, why would you take the word of a doctor over the word of God?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. But, you know, I think of the passage about the woman who, the scripture just says she had an issue of blood. If I remember correctly, it's in one of the Gospels, it says that she had had this problem for 12 years and had been to numerous doctors, and none of them could solve the problem for her.
And it actually said that they had made it worse.
That's right. They'd made it worse. Yeah. Well, I've heard some stories about that too. So she says, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, like she understood whatever he's got, it's better than all these doctors put together.
Yeah.
If I can just touch the hem of his garment, and she does that, and instantly it says she was healed.
Yep.
So if she had just said, well, goodness, all these other doctors, you know, they went to school for this. They obviously know what they're doing. Jesus, he's a carpenter. I mean, what could he possibly know about healing women's issues, you know? There we go, treading that line of the iTunes again. But she believed. She believed that Jesus knew something or had the power to do something that these other doctors didn't. And he turns around to her and he says, your faith has made you whole.
And see, that's the key, Steve, because I think a lot of people, they hear that story and it's like, you know, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And what we do is we focus on the hem of his garment. And I think, honestly, if that woman said, if I could just lick the dust where his sandals have been, I shall be made well. I think it would have happened just the same. Because it wasn't about the point of contact. Mm-hmm. It was about her putting her faith in the Son of God.
Right.
However she did it, however she exercised that faith, was totally, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was just the fact that she was putting her trust in him. And, you know, we sing songs about the hem of his garment and all this stuff. And I think so many times we get focused on, you know, I've even heard whole teachings done on what the hem of his garment was.
Oh,
I've heard whole teachings on that.
Can
I'm
you
like,
say missing
that's,
the point.
Talk about adventures and missing the point.
Yep.
You know, it has nothing to do with the point of contact.
Yeah.
It's simply who are we contacting?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the key word in her statement was his. If I can just touch the hem of his garment.
Mm.
It was the focus. Her focus was on him. Because I think basically what she was saying is, I don't need a whole lot from him. I just need to get close enough to touch him. And in reality, she wouldn't have even needed that much.
And maybe
because
it was
had a guy come to Jesus and say, can you heal my child? And the child's in another town. And Jesus says, go home, he's healed. I mean, there was so much done by Jesus in response to the faith of people.
Yeah.
And yet we end up nullifying any statements of faith by, well, but maybe he doesn't want to.
Well, our statements of faith are token.
Yeah, exactly.
They're tacked on to the end of our statements. You know, and
like
once
putting
again,
in Jesus' name on the end of a prayer.
I'm right there with you, Steve, when I want to say I'm, you know, my heart goes out to people, and I am in no way judging anyone here.
No.
And I've not walked in the shoes of someone who's been through cancer and someone who's been through, you know, a horrid disease. I've not been in those steps, so I want to be real sensitive here. But, you know, I hear people talk about exactly like what you were saying, you know, all the things the doctor said, the prognosis.
Mm-hmm.
The medications, all of these things, and how, you know, we're just hoping that this will work,
right?
That this doctor's new medicine is going to work, blah blah blah, and at the end, but we're trusting the Lord.
Yeah,
and I'm going, you know, that just sounds so token to me.
Well, it does.
It doesn't sound real. It sounds like it sounds like rubbing the lucky rabbit's foot.
Right.
At the end of the day, like, I'm going to cross, you know, I'm going to cross my legs and my fingers and my toes and, you know, I'm going to, you know, get my voodoo doll out or whatever.
Right.
I'm going to do all my different superstitious acts to make sure whatever works. and mm-hmm. you know, I'm gonna make sure I burn incense to this God too.
Right.
And like I say, there's a lot of good believing Christians that act this way. But I think sometimes we take that word, I'm trusting God, and it's more about superstition than reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. And we talked about that in our episode about superstition.
Christian superstition.
Oh, there we go again. Now, see, now we're going to get slammed with royalty fees. one way or the other, we're going to get in trouble with this episode.
Well, you know, all the people that listen to this podcast, I'm sure Stevie Wonder is going to be rolling in the dough.
Good point.
He's going to make at least 2 cents off this.
That's right.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I'm with you in fearing that it's so much of it is just token.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jesus was encouraging people not to do in his day. Now, I agree with you, Ray. I have not walked the path of a serious life-altering disease like cancer. Of course, you know, part of what we're talking about is that we don't believe that a Christian should have to.
Exactly.
But I did. I don't know if I've shared this story on this podcast before or not. If I have, I'm sorry for repeating myself. But you know, when you talk about this stuff over and over again, you're bound to repeat yourself once or twice. But I did have a situation. This was probably 6 years ago now, 7 years ago. I'm not sure how many years ago now. I forget. But anyway, I was living in Texas at the time, and I was working for the Job Corps, writing software for their data center. I was sitting at my desk at work, and suddenly, just out of nowhere, I started feeling extremely nauseous, extremely weak, very dizzy. Have I told you this story, Ray?
I don't recall it.
I tried to get up to go get some help or to get to the restroom, which happened to be all the way down a long hallway and then turn the corner and go down another short hallway and around the corner to the bathroom. So it was like the opposite corner of the building that I was in. I tried to get up. As soon as I tried to stand up, I felt like I was going to collapse. And I don't want to be too graphic here, but the nausea became very tangible at that point.
You've got away with words, man.
Thanks. I try to be very delicate here. Because the point, again, is not to focus on the – but I want people to understand how serious this was for me at the time. I finally managed to get away from my desk and to try to walk down the hallway. And I was having just the hardest time standing up. I kept collapsing against the wall. It basically was vertigo, which I had never experienced before. It was just – my balance was completely gone. I kept walking into the side wall, you know, and falling down. And amazingly, nobody was like around to see this happening to know how bad it was. I made my way to the restroom, pulled myself into the stall, shut the door, and I just laid on the cold floor, just totally confused as to what was going on. Got myself together as best I could, got up, went to a nearby office where one of my coworkers was, and I walked in there, and I started to ask him if we had any kind of like nurse on staff there at the data center. But before I could even ask him the question, he took one look at me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No." And with that, I fell to the floor.
Man.
They called 911, ambulance rushed there, came in. I was shaking. I started to feel, I basically was hyperventilating. Could not feel my fingers and toes. I mean, I just was freaked at this point, totally scared to death. They took me to the hospital. They ran some tests. I forget now what tests they did, what all they did, but they were checking my heart, everything. Could not figure out what was causing this. Discharged me. I had a friend come pick me up, took me back to my house. For the next month and a half, and I'm not exaggerating any of this. This is exactly what happened. For the next month and a half, I could not go to work. I could only get up for about 15 minutes at a time, and after being up for 15 minutes, I had to go back to bed.
Man.
I was just totally had no strength, nothing. Went to the doctor several times, had to get friends to drive me to the doctor. Went to the doctor, I had an MRI of my brain. They could not find anything wrong. Doctor could not find anything wrong. Did blood tests, nothing showing up. Basically, I had this intense migraine headache that was just wiping me out. and it was nonstop for a month and a half. I kid you not.
Man.
The doctor prescribed a couple different medicines. I don't remember what all they were at the time, but one was Vicodin for the pain. Did not do squat for me. I'd got no relief from the medicine at all. And I was concerned about the addictive nature of some of those medicines. It was during this time, Ray, that I began to say, okay, God, what is it that I'm not getting here? Because I had been taught all my life that God may or may not heal. It's just kind of up to his whim. And so I began to question at that point, is healing something that is really ours to claim? And during that time that I was completely just bound to home, I started reading the Gospels. And this was when I began to discover the element of faith in all of those healing stories that are
reading
told.
The Gospels will mess you up, brother.
It'll mess you up.
In a good way.
And I came across this verse in Matthew that said that they brought all the sick to him in this particular town, and he was there until evening time, and he healed them all. And Matthew ties that in to Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. And I thought, that's because this was the point of debate for me. I had been taught that the atonement of Jesus only bought us salvation for eternity, basically like life in heaven after this life, that it had no bearing whatsoever on our lives here, other than the hope of eternal life. But I had been hearing in the Pentecostal church that I was in that the atonement included healing. And Peter says later on that by his stripes we are healed. And so that was always preached in a Pentecostal church, as we're healed physically. And so that was basically what I was examining, is this part of the atonement? Is this part of what Jesus did on the cross? And Matthew tied it into that passage in Isaiah 53, is it?
Yeah, Isaiah 53.
And when I saw that connection, like, that basically clicked for me. And I said, I believe now that this is something that is ours through Jesus. And Ray, I'm not exaggerating. I got up, I grabbed the bottles of medicine, I threw them in the trash, climbed in my car, and went to work.
Mm.
And I did not have a single symptom.
Wow.
Now, I'm not telling that to be dramatic, and I'm not telling that to brag on my faith.
Or to recommend for others.
Or to necessarily recommend for others. But I'm saying, if you seek God and say, what does the kingdom really mean for me now? And you walk in that faith. I believe that it was just like when people would say to Jesus, I believe that you can heal me.
Yeah.
And he healed them. I never did find out what caused that headache. I never found out. The doctors never found out anything. I have no clue to this day what caused that.
Well, sometimes we get so enamored with cause and effect.
Right.
When really, do we want to be well, or do we want to know why something came?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather just focus on being well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole point of what we started talking about tonight, is what do we speak about ourselves? And this really goes back to our discussion in the last episode about insurance.
Yeah.
What are we placing our trust in? Am I speaking words of health and well-being? Am I believing that that's what God has ordained for me because I am in Christ? You know, Paul wrote to the church, I believe it was the church in Ephesus, where he wrote and he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened.
Yeah.
That you would see, and I'm going to paraphrase very heavily here, that you would understand just how much you have in Christ.
That's right.
If you read Ephesians 1, he starts listing all this stuff about what it means to be in Christ. And that basically everything that is Christ's is ours.
Well,
not
he actually
will
says
be ours.
In the book of Romans that we're joint co-equal
yes.
heirs with Christ.
Heirs. It's not future. It's what we already possess in Christ. And so like Paul, I say to our listeners, I pray that your eyes, the eyes of your heart would be open, that you would see just how deeply God has provided for you, that you would see how deeply God loves you.
Yeah.
That he is not out to give you cancer. He's not out to take your children from you. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where the blame solely rests.
Right.
For anything that's taken from us. It's not God that does it.
Right.
And I really wish that American Christianity would stop blaming God and somehow assuming that all these things are within his will, that he wants us to go through these things. No, he wants you to be delivered from it, and he's already done all the work necessary for you to be delivered from it.
And maybe for future, for further reference, for people who maybe are new to the podcast or haven't listened to all the episodes, I mean, for more information on that, go back to that Is God Really in Control episode, because mm-hmm. that really sets up kind of where we're at right now. Is yeah. God really in control of everything that happens here? Because if you start out with that presupposition that God really is in control, then you mm-hmm. can't avoid having the notion that God does cause right. certain people to be sick, and God does cause certain people to die young, et cetera, et cetera. I want to go back to something you said just a moment ago when you were talking about that connection between Isaiah 53 and what Matthew said. I think it's in chapter 8.
Either 6 or 8, I couldn't remember yet.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting because in the original quotation of that passage in Isaiah 53, it says, talking about Jesus, a prophecy of Jesus, it says, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows." Mm-hmm. And yet when Matthew interprets that scripture,
right,
he says that Jesus healed all those people as a fulfillment of Isaiah's words. And here's how he quotes him. He says, "Surely he's carried our sicknesses mm-hmm. and our pains."
Yep.
I think that's fascinating. Matthew took the liberty to yeah. say what griefs and sorrows were in Isaiah 53 were actually mm-hmm. sicknesses and pains.
And pain.
That yep. what Jesus bore in his mm-hmm. body was not just the payment for sin mm-hmm. and not just eternal life in the sweet by and by and a cabin up in glory.
Right.
But that it tickles me every time I think about that. Cabin
I've
up in the glory. But you know that he actually purchased on the cross for us to be well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul talks about, "May the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your whole yep. spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until yeah. the coming of the day of Christ." I think it's interesting that when he talks about preserving the spirit, soul, and body, he first mm-hmm. says, "May the God of peace do that." Mm-hmm. Because peace, you know, the word shalom in Hebrew means nothing missing, nothing broken.
Right.
That God wants to, he wants to get us back to that state that we were in the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. where there was nothing missing and there was nothing broken. Right. And he doesn't want to just do that sometime in the distant future, because right. Jesus said, don't look for the kingdom to come here or there, for the kingdom yeah. of God is within you. It yeah. is among you. When he came after he was baptized in the river of Jordan, and after he mm-hmm. was tempted in the desert, it said that the first thing he came doing was preaching this message: repent yep. or change your thinking, because mm-hmm. the kingdom of God is at hand. It's yeah. here. It's now. So in other words, if we're going to live in the domain of Jesus, where he's king right now, if we're mm-hmm. going to confess that Jesus is our Lord, that means that we live in the kingdom of a God of peace, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken right now.
Right. Right. Wow. I feel like there's so much more we could say about that, Ray. I hope our listeners haven't just zoned out by this
point. We're going to have to take a note from Big C and do a two-hour podcast
here. Yeah, right. Well, and maybe we ought to just figure out a way to split this one up into a couple episodes, because I think we're dealing with a lot here. This is so, I mean, you and I both are becoming very passionate in how we're talking about this, because this is so, I think, crucial to understanding what the kingdom of heaven is all about. I think there's a lot less focus in the New Testament on the hereafter than we have been taught that there is.
I think that so much of what we believe about the hereafter is nothing mm-hmm. but just Greek influence in the early church, that it really has yeah. nothing to do with scripture, but yeah. it has more to do with people coming from the school of Plato or Aristotle right. and getting converted in the church and mm-hmm. then weaving their teaching in with the theology of the Bible so that somehow right. God ends up being way out in the distance. And, yeah. you know, that our goal is a disembodied state where we go to some, yep. you know, cloud up in the sky as a disembodied spirit and play a harp.
Yeah.
You know, that's messed yep. up.
It is, because I think so much of what Jesus taught, as we've said over and over again here, is about our lives now.
It is.
And, I mean, so much of his teaching is present day stuff that you can't. If you strip all that away or somehow explain it away to be futuristic, then you miss so much of what he was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things that he talked about with regard to loving enemies and all that kind of stuff, are we going to have to deal with that in the afterlife? That seems very applicable to today.
I mean, to me,
turning the other cheek, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I didn't know people were going to walk up to me in heaven and slap me.
It's like in Psalm 23, you know, he prepares a table before me in the right. presence of my enemies.
In the presence of,
that can't exactly. be some sweet by and by heaven where everybody yeah. there loves God and nobody is an enemy.
Right.
I mean, he's got to be talking in the here and now that he prepares a table of blessing right. of. A table of enough
yep.
in the midst of the junk that we have in life so mm-hmm. that we can live in his kingdom right now. It's like, yeah. it's like he's, it's like there's a colony. There's this colony of heaven in mm-hmm. the midst of the earth, and it's called the church.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst yep. of the earth, there's this colony that doesn't, you know, I mean, this is the language Peter uses when he calls us strangers and aliens.
Right.
When he
right.
says, you know, that we're aliens to this world. I yep. mean, he's basically saying that the rules that we live by, this world doesn't even understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the way you prefaced it earlier when you said, you know, if you're not a believer in Jesus, the stuff we're going to talk about is not going to make sense.
Yeah.
And we're not saying that to act like we have some special, you know.
No, no, that's not a put down.
Some special Gnostic insight,
right.
you know. But no, it's what we're saying is this is something that can only be, I mean, it's like Paul said, the veil can only be removed in Christ.
Right.
The veil that shields us from seeing the kingdom of God can only be removed in Christ. Otherwise, mm. we are limited to the rules of this world.
Yeah.
But if we don't limit yeah. God, we're limitless.
Right, right. And, it, you know, like I said, why is it that we can take the words of anybody else at face value and believe that to be the truth, but when it comes to the words of God himself or the words of Jesus on this earth, we go, well, I don't know. You can really take that literally.
And the thing, you know? The thing about it, Steve, is when you say we're not just mm-hmm. talking about we as general people. We're talking about believers.
Believers. I know. That's
in Jesus.
Thing.
I have a hard time believing his words.
I made that disclaimer about people not believing in him and how this wouldn't make sense. I'm not sure it makes sense to a lot of people who do believe
in him. I don't think it does. I think that's why we're talking about it.
Right.
It's believers in Jesus.
Yeah.
Who have a hard time believing his words.
Right. And this goes along with other things that we've talked about in past episodes, like, you know, what I've mentioned in the past, that the dire predictions that I hear and all the doomsayers and negative speaking that I hear are coming from the so-called Christians, as opposed to the world who is, and I recognize that, you know, you can spin this and say, well, the world is pursuing a false peace and all that. Yeah, I understand that without Christ, I don't think there really can be true peace. But the Christians who are supposed to be the ones ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within them are the ones preaching all the destruction and you know, negative stuff about how the world's gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
So where is the hope? Why, you know, how is it that a political campaign can focus on hope, but the Christians who are supposed to have true hope can't have enough hope to get up in the morning and have a successful day?
I think it goes right back, Steve, to, you know, like we were talking about, what we believe about, for instance, the afterlife. Because if we believe that our goal is a disembodied existence in a far off place from Earth, then that means we really don't care about life here.
We don't care. Exactly.
So it's basically, you know, let's just hunker down and make it through until we can get to the other side.
And judge as many people on the way.
Exactly. And yet Jesus is saying, no, guys, this is, I mean, you know, in Revelation where it talks about the streets of gold, and it talks about the gates, the pearly gates and all those kinds of things, the gates made of pearl.
Right.
That is not, it's so funny. We've taken that and we've called it heaven. And it's describing a place here on earth.
It is.
Yep. He's actually describing a place here on earth.
Yeah, so, even if you want to take it literally, you've got to acknowledge then that it's something
if you want to take it literally, you have to take that it's here. That's what's so funny about it.
I know. I'm with you on that.
So obviously, so it's got to be pretty darn important. Our life down here, if we want to say down here, I just think that's
down here. Yeah.
That's even a bad use of language, because it just persists in that whole dualistic distinction between earth and heaven. Yeah. The whole point of Jesus is that earth and heaven can meet in a single person.
Right.
And earth and heaven, the king has met in the kingdom of God in the midst of believers in Jesus. So that we are filled with heaven in the midst of earth.
Yeah. Well, doesn't one of the prophets, I forget if it's Isaiah or Ezekiel or somewhere in there, it says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of his Christ.
Yeah.
So it's this merging of this unification, which I believe you alluded to this earlier. I believe that the original creation has a lot to do with this. I believe that what we are expecting to see, or what we should be expecting to see, is a renewal of, or a return to, the original state.
Yeah.
I don't mean state as in a geographic or a political entity. but that there's this undoing of the negative that has happened.
Yeah, that's
a renewing of creation, which is why, see, this is what, gosh, I get so excited about this stuff. But when Paul says, if you are in Christ, equals new creation.
Yeah.
Being in Christ means you are already
participating
that new creation. Yeah, you're already participating in the renewal. And he talks about the physical creation groaning and waiting for that. Would physical creation be groaning and waiting to be destroyed? You know, it doesn't make sense to say that this is all just leading to destruction, and then somehow we go to heaven and have a world there.
It just doesn't
make sense. I think it's all about this being renewed. That's the whole message of the kingdom, is renewal. And Paul says, you know, when he tells us that we have the message of reconciliation, and we've talked about this on this podcast before, that the message that we preach is not repent or you're going to hell.
Right.
The message is you are separated from God by your sin, but he has already made it possible for you to be reconciled to him, and that work's already been done, and all you have to do is walk into it.
I mean,
that's a much different message than what you and I have heard growing up.
I think it's akin to, I hope this is a good analogy, but it's kind of like, imagine the Allied forces in World War II breaking into Auschwitz and telling the prisoners there who had been mauled, who had suffered through horrific tyranny, telling them that there is a new, that the old regime is dead, and there's a new leader in town, and he set you free.
Right.
I think it's very akin to that. I think that's what Jesus did when he came in the midst of the earth. I think he said, look, guys, alert, there's a new kingdom here.
Yeah.
And you can be part of it. And in this kingdom, you don't advance yourself by stepping on other people.
Right.
You don't have to worry about suffering. The only suffering that you might partake of is suffering at the hands of other people. Suffering at the hands of people who don't believe. But even that will come to an end.
Right.
There's even deliverance from that eventually.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I think that kingdom that Jesus came to proclaim
Yeah.
It's here. It's a, we're in it.
So why aren't we out there preaching hope? Why aren't we telling people, don't put your faith in the government. Don't put your faith in doctors. Don't put your faith in anything that's temporal, but put your faith in what has been infused with the spirit of the kingdom of God.
Don't you think a lot of it comes down, Steve, to the fact that we have misunderstood even what the gospel is? Because we think that what the gospel consists of is, let's get people to believe this certain set of propositions.
Right.
And when they do, it will give them a free ticket to a place way far away from here.
Right.
And where they can escape the destruction and the junk here. Because when you believe that gospel, when you believe a gospel that says you're just trying to get out of here, and if you believe the right things, it'll happen, then you could care less what happens here on the earth.
Exactly.
A. And B, it doesn't, your means to get to your end all of a sudden can become compromised. That's why you'll seek places of power in political regimes, because you're thinking, our only mission is to get enough people to believe the right propositions. Whereas Jesus was all about discipleship, and he said, it's not about getting enough people to believe a number of propositions. It's not about wielding power to enforce your will. It's about walking in the way of Christ. It's not about effectiveness. It's about faithfulness.
Right.
And when we begin to get a hold of that, then here on the earth, we start acting like we're already in the kingdom of God, because we are.
Right. Because we are, exactly. And that kingdom then allows us to speak and believe the things that are of that kingdom, not what we see around us.
Right.
Wow. Ray, this has been a fun discussion, bro.
It has. I hope everybody's stuck with us. I'm at an hour and 17 minutes here. I'm hoping everybody's sticking around.
and actually, by the time they listen to this, we will have split it into two episodes, and it'll be a little bit more manageable for them. But I really hope that we haven't offended anybody in the things that we've used as examples. Again, let us just clarify that we don't speak out of judgment. We speak out of compassion, and we speak out of passion for what we believe is the truth about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And like we say so many times on this podcast, check it out for yourself. You go and look at what the scripture says. And if we're wrong, by all means, feel free to point that out to
us. Yeah.
But, you know, we're looking at the scripture. We're looking at the life of Jesus. We're looking at the things that were taught by Jesus and by the early apostles, and we're saying, this sounds an awful lot like what you've just heard us ramble about in these two episodes. And so we're open to correction for certain, but we're open to correction based on the same standard of revelation that we've been using.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly welcome those kinds of disagreements, but don't just tell us that we're new agey or that we're too word of faith or that we're just, you know, that we've bought into Kenneth Copeland Ministries or whatever, because it's not about any of that, folks. If you think that there are similarities between what we're saying and New Age faith, then maybe you need to ask yourself, is it possible that the New Age faith has some elements of truth in it?
But whatever you do, please don't use the guilt by association logic.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, tear it apart. I'm open to that. I've already said that. But understand that what we are talking about is what we see in Scripture and should be the basis of what other Christians use for their understanding as well. And they often claim to sola scriptura and all that. But somehow when we bring it up, you know, it ends up being controversial.
Yeah.
But guys, thanks so much for listening.
Good stuff.
It's been a lot of fun talking about it with you, Ray, and I hope that other people have been encouraged. I hope that maybe it's challenged some people to rethink their own perspective on what they speak and what they believe and what their identification is. Because if they claim to follow Christ and they're not identifying themselves as being in Christ, I think they're going to end up with a very mixed message coming out of their life.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not what we want to see, and that's not what we try to have in our own lives. So you guys are great. Love you all as listeners. And if you want to leave us a comment, please stop by beyondtheboxpodcast.com or beyondtheboxblog.com if you want to cut about three letters off there. make it a little bit shorter for you. One of these days I'm going to get an even shorter domain just to make it easier for people.
BTB.com or something.
Yeah, exactly. that one's already taken. I checked that. Shoot. But I think BTBpodcast.com might be available.
Ah.
And one of our more savvy listeners has just gone and registered it and kept it from us. But, you know.
Yikes.
And also, I do want to say, don't be confused. There are other Beyond the Boxes out there. There's actually, Ray, I don't know if you knew this, there's a HGTV show called Beyond the Box.
Yeah, they just started that here recently.
They just started it, didn't they? And I think we ought to sue them for trademark infringement.
But, well, I thought about it, but then I read that whole thing about, you know, loving my enemy and et cetera.
Exactly. No, if we can do anything to help promote them and make their show better by using this name,
maybe we'll even make a guest appearance.
That's right. There you go. I think they should contact us for an interview.
I don't know. But anyway, see if we can pencil them in somewhere.
That's right. We are the original Beyond the Box podcast. And we appreciate you guys listening and hanging out with us whenever we do post. So, Ray, you have a great week, buddy.
You too, my friend.
We'll talk to you all later.